Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week, because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.
The two cousins battling right there. SGA wins out. Timeout, Minnesota.
All right, that was from Game 1. Wolves get crushed by the Oklahoma City Thunder. Welcome back to the Lake Show, and let's talk and preview Game number 2 between the two teams, which takes place in 30 minutes from now. None other than the professor of hoopology himself, Double T, Trent Tucker, an NBA champion himself. He joins us courtesy of the John Schuster Call Banker Hotline. Double T, I watched Game 1, disappointed in the way that the Wolves played. What was your overall, we'll get into some specifics from that game, but what was your overall assessment of Game number 1?
Well, you know, the Wolves came out and I thought they played the right way against Oklahoma City's defense. Oklahoma City is pretty good in terms of, if you're trying to take them off the dribble on that first move, they're very good at taking away your first move off the dribble. And how the Wolves got out to a good start, they came out and they made three or four quick passes, and then Jay McDaniel got wide open for 1-for-3-point shot and then for a 15-footer. You have to beat Oklahoma City with the pass. The ball can move much faster than the players. You have to get them in a situation where they're scrambling and they're trying to recover to shooters. And that's going to open up driving lanes for the Wolves from their standpoint. They are very, very good, and you have to respect them for their one-on-one defense. But ball movement and player movement will all of a sudden now weaken their defense and allow you to find some open spots and some open shots.
You're spot on, Double T. You saw exactly. That's why you're so much the professor of hoopology, because you see it clearly and you're able to explain it in that way. Because when I'm watching the game, and everybody saw it, the world saw it, when we had the isolation stuff and when Ant's trying to back people down, or specifically Julius Randle trying to back people down, stuff like that, they're so good defensively, especially help side defense, that's not a way that we're going to be able to win this series. You just hit it right there on the head. We have to move the basketball, have them defensively trying to figure out who's going to take the best shot. And we just have to have them off kilter there. All this stuff about trying to back people down and this, that, the other, that's just not going to work against them, because they're too good defensively as a team and as a core.
They are very good. They move their feet very well. You know, they can keep their bodies in front. And all of a sudden now the officials are allowing you to bump a little bit more, so they're able to fight over those screens. And when the Wolves had some success, I was watching a clip today. DiVincenzo got into the middle. He made a pass to the corner. They rotated. The guy in the corner made a pass to the wing. They rotated. Then they hit Julius Randle wide open for a 3-point shot. So that's the way. If you can play that way more times than not, where you got player movement and ball movement, all of a sudden now you break down your defense. Anytime you get a defense that shifts, that's when you can find some driving angles and also some open shots.
How would you describe, or at least in your opinion, how Anthony Edwards played on Tuesday? Because I was not impressed, but I do say that with the asterisk of, I saw him go down there in that first quarter. He went to the locker room. He came back out. He did play through it, but we need him to be aggressive down the stretch, because if he's not aggressive and late in the game or in the second half, then I just don't know if we got a shot.
Well, they're going to have to find a way to get him some easier shots, and the things you and I are talking about, you got to move him around. You just can't make him a stationary target. Oklahoma City is very good when they can locate you. All four guys now knows exactly what you're trying to attack from, and they can take those driving angles away. You know, that was one sequence I thought in the first half they brought him off a single or a stagger screen where he came off of two guys and got a wide open jump shot. That's the type of action that they are going to have to go to free him up, because it's hard to face the set defense time and time again and beat guys one-on-one or one-on-two or one-on-three. There's only so few guys throughout the history of the NBA that have ever been able to do that consistently, and one of them was number 23 by the name of Michael Jordan, and there's no Michael Jordan on the basketball court at this time.
when you look at Rudy Gobert, who has played well here in the postseason, is there any way to have him be a positive contributor in this series? I know that defensively, I still have faith that Rudy's going to have some sort of impact. You just don't have as many Defensive Player of the Year awards and not have any impact at all. But offensively, what do you think about Rudy?
Well, you got to take him out of the pick-and-roll situation. It's because when he sets the pick-and-roll, and they trap the pick-and-roll, but he's a non-offensive factor at 25 feet. So I would run the pick-and-roll with Julius Randle. And I would move the pick and roll off the top of the key and move it down to the sideline, get it below the free throw line. So now when you come off the screen, if they trap, you got one bounce. Now you got the guy rolling to the basket where he can make a play off one bounce. Now Rudy Gobert is on the opposite side of the rim. If a shot goes up, if his man leaves to rotate over, now that's going to free him up for some offensive rebounds and some putbacks. But if he's going to set that screen at the top of the key, and if Oklahoma City don't trap the pick and roll, that's bad defense by them. But if they continue to trap the pick and roll and Rudy Gobert has the ball at 25 to 26 feet, that's bad offense for the Wolves. So I would like to see them make that adjustment so that now he can get into the game doing the things that he's done so well, is by getting second chances and keeping the ball alive to get some second opportunities as well.
Who needs to be the most important person coming off of that bench? Is it Naz Reid? Is it Nikhil Alexander-Walker? Or is it Dante DiVincenzo? Which one of those three needs to have the biggest impact?
I think from a confidence standpoint,
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Nikhil Alexander-Walker. You know, he shot the ball well throughout the regular season against Oklahoma City, but throughout the playoffs, he has not shot the ball well. So I think from a confidence standpoint, if there's one guy that needs to have a good game, it's him, because they are going to need him throughout this series, because he is going to be open for those open three-point shots. And when you're trying to get to an NBA Finals, those guys coming off the bench, they have to be productive.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We're talking to Trent Tucker here on the Lake Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. Let's turn our attention to OKC for a second. That's the opponent. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the MVP of the league. Just your thoughts on who needs to be the person that we focus in on stopping outside of Shai. And the reason why I say it that in that way is because, Double T, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander against the Wolves this season, I believe, is averaging 37 points a game. He's unstoppable for the Wolves. So who needs to be the person that we need to lock down? Because I think that the guy that is there, questionably their second best player, but he can be very inconsistent, is Jalen Williams.
Well, the Wolves can defend them off the dribble. Oklahoma City, they don't have a lot of guys who can beat you one-on-one. Their offense is predicated on forcing turnovers, getting out in the transition, getting easy baskets in transition, or opening up the three-point shot in transition. They want to try to break you down, and they want a driving kick. I think the Wolves can play them straight up one-on-one because Jalen Williams is not going to beat you off the dribble. And when he catches the basketball, make him drive the ball to his left hand, because he wants to get to his right hand any chance he have a chance to make, and when he's trying to make a play. But I believe the Wolves should be confident enough that they can defend this team, take away the open three-point shot, and just tell Jay McDaniel, hey, you got SGA. He's your man. We know that he's going to score, but we need for you to play hard and tough defense and stay out of foul trouble. Just contest as many shots as you can. It's because the more that the Wolves don't have to double team, it's going to help their overall defense to slow down Oklahoma City.
Do you think they win tonight? Do you think they get it done?
It's not a must win for the Wolves. You want to leave Oklahoma City, you know, with the ideal in mind on how we can beat this basketball team. It's because, you know, it's a seven-game series, and anytime you don't have the home court advantage, you're saying that I have to win at least either game one, game two, game five, or game seven. I have to get one win. So that I'm telling my team that we have four chances to win one game on the road. if we take care of business at home. So don't put too much pressure on yourself, whether you win or lose tonight. We want to win for sure, but we want to go out and play the right way. We want to come out of this two-game road trip with an idea on how we can beat this basketball team.
Do you think they win tonight?
I believe they can. I believe they can. Oklahoma City is a very good basketball team. You know, so they didn't win 65-plus games because they weren't good. And they can beat you, and they can win this series, and everybody knows that. But the Wolves are also good enough to win this series as well. They just got to figure out now. I think the best way for them to win is to make sure you get ball movement and player movement. All of a sudden now, you know, you're going to find the open shots that you're looking for. Your offense becomes a whole lot much more comfortable. Your confidence goes up, and that's going to give you a great chance to win. So I think the Wolves can win tonight, but, you know, if Oklahoma City wins game number two, the series is not over. There's no need to panic. As long as you believe that you left Oklahoma City after these two games with the idea on how to beat this team.
All right, I can't let you go without bringing up last night what happened at the Garden. As a former Nick, come on, man, what happened there? Double T, I know you were watching, and I know you were like, well, let me ask you this. When Nesmith started knocking down the three after three after three, were you getting nervous, or were you like, nah, the Knicks are going to pull this out? Because I started, when he hit the third one, I said to myself, man, this feels like the Knicks are about to choke. And then, unfortunately, or actually fortunately, the play at the end when Halliburton made the shot, fortunately, it was a two and it wasn't a three because you get it into overtime. But then in overtime, the Pacers just seemed to want it more and they made more of the clutch shots. What was your take on that game? Because that was wild.
Well, the Knicks thought the game was over. You're up by 14 with 2 minutes to go. It seems like the Indiana could not stop them from scoring. And it was just like, we're just trading baskets after trading baskets. And if we continue to do this, well, then there's no way Indiana can catch us. But all of a sudden, Indiana became a better team on the defensive end. They got the stops they needed. They continued to make shots. And the Knicks just forgot to close the game out. And when they looked up at the scoreboard with about 30-some seconds to go, they only had a 2-point lead. And it was like, wow, how did we get here? And once they got there, you could see them begin to lose some of their confidence. Now, they were playing not to lose instead of playing to win. And Indiana is a tough team, and well coached by Rick Carlisle. And when people talk about, you know, Halliburton being overrated, trust me, that kid though is not overrated. He is a very good basketball player.
All right, so let me ask you this real quick. I want to get your take on it. I'm not going to give you my take, okay, because I'm going to get into my take at the end of the show in the third and final hour. But there's been a lot of talk. I know Charles Barkley had a take. Other people have had a take about Tyrese Halliburton's dad, John, allowing him to, you know, come back game three, you know, be in the stands, be in the arena to cheer on his son. What say you?
Well, you know, he should not be able to come back because he crossed the line. And there is no room for what he did. And there's no space for parents to come onto the floor and do what, you know, he did to Giannis. I mean, Giannis could have easily punched him in the face. Or this guy could have seriously hurt Giannis as well. So I think based on the nature of the situation that took place, knowing that the basketball court is supposed to be a sacred place for the players, he should not be allowed to come back and watch basketball for the rest of the season.
Double T, you're the best, man. I appreciate it. Have a happy Memorial Day weekend to you and yours, and let's catch up soon.
All right, man. Lake, same to you, buddy. Go Wolves, right?
Go Wolves. I'm on it, man. I'm on it. That's Double T, Trent Tucker, joining us here on The Lake Show.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.